saw to cut it off. It keeps hanging up on the boot. It looks like I've got my cattle across the river. Well, you know, that's what cowboys do. They put, if they got one up, they got half of them on the other side of the river. I don't even own a cow. All right, good singing all the way around. That's a blessing just from on high. We're glad you're here. You really going to go and jump, bungee jump off the... Well, what happened to the bungee jump thing?
Well, she wants to kill me.
Well, hey. I got it on now. I got it on. All right, take your Bible, if you will, the book of Romans. Romans in chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. If you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look in verse number 1, verse number 2. It's good to be saved. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see you, and we appreciate how good God's been to us all week long, and I hope you've had the blessing of God upon you as well. All right, verse 1, Romans 16. I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that your sister in whatsoever been as she hath need of you, for she hath been a succourer of many, and of myself also. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and how we do thank you, for thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Now, I pray you'd move upon and within us, and Lord, seal this message in every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, we pray thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I'm going to preach an old sermon here, probably in this next two sessions here, and I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people in the world that have no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. They don't have an idea what it means to be a part of God's family. I mean, they're in church, out of church, more out than they are in. And they don't really have any place particularly that they belong. They just kind of float around here, there, and yon. And every now and again, they drop in and go to church somewhere. I got news for you. It's more than that to you and I that are saved, that have been added to the church of the living God, and we are part of the family of God's love and God's life. I think about when we look into this lesson that's here, you find this is a book of appreciation. I don't know how to be able to pronounce the names that you'll be reading later on when you go home, but there's about 35 of them that we can't pronounce. Some of them we can, some of them we can't. Some of them we guess at and get close. But let me tell you right now, out of those 35 names, some of them men, some of them women. And let me say to you that as a result of that, you're going to find out is that though you and I know very little about any of them, in fact, it'll be the only time you'll read their name in the Bible on some of them. And they don't tell you anything about them except they're part of the family of God. And I want to tell you right now, whenever you look into the Bible, you recognize and know that He's God. Besides Him, there's none else beside Him. In the lesson that we're looking at, make no mistake about it, is that while we don't know these people that we're talking about, rest assured, God knows them. God knows exactly who we are. You may not know a lot of people up and down the road of life, but God knows exactly what's going on. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that in this lesson here, that people... all the modern versions, they use the Roman Catholic manuscripts and they teach a heresy and they try to make Phoebe a deaconess. If you've got an old Schofield Bible, that's what he's bought into that story. If you've got a McMorris Bible, they've got that, he's got that in this margin, that she's a deaconess. And I know that isn't true. Now here's the reason why I know that it's not true. You remember this the rest of your life, it'll always be the same. But in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that there's a valuable asset to being a child of God and in the work of God and in the work of God's palace or in the place that He's got you put in. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that Phoebe was a sister. You'll find that she was born into the family of God. She knew the Lord. Not only that, but she was a servant. And that's where they go to try and twist the manuscript around and try to make her a deaconess to make women happy. And as a result of that, you'll find she's a helper, a succourer of many. Now, let me say to you, and make no mistake about it, There's no such thing in the Bible as a deaconess or a woman deacon. How do I know that? I'm glad you asked. If you read over there in 1 Timothy in chapter number 3, you're going to find out that God's given, he's given in the Bible, he's given about 4 ordained offices in the Bible, all of them male. One of them is an apostle, no women apostle. One of them is a bishop or an elder. That's 2 of them. And the other one was a deacon. Now, apostles, a bishops, deacons, and elder. And the Bible said that if you're going to be a deacon or you're going to be an elder, that one of the qualifications was you had to be the husband of one wife. Now, how in the world are you going to make that gal there a husband? You're not. But see, that's the reason I'm always telling you, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, I wouldn't just jerk out that page of the Bible and tear it up, because that's not part of the Bible. That's part of a footnote of somebody's interpretation. That's the only thing about a study Bible, is that it's fine and they're very valuable. It's a very valuable tool. But when you go to believe in everything they put in their footnote, and you make that the scripture instead of the scripture interpreting the footnote, then you're going to mess up and get involved in heresy. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that you'll find out is that Phoebe is a servant, and certainly she's a worthy servant, and God said you're to help her in whatever she has need of you. And make no mistake about it, is that we ought to be appreciative one to another. Now, let me tell you the reason why that I'm glad that we're at the house of God is that it straightens up some things. You know, I listened to a little bit, and I voted for him twice. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump again because I've got nobody else to vote for him. Do I want to vote for him? No, but I'm going to. And make no mistake about it is that Donnelly, whenever he stands up to give a speech, I can't listen to him long. It makes me not want to vote for him. It might be that we ought to put him in the closet somewhere with Mr. Biden. But here he is standing up, you know, and he's bragging about Franklin Graham. And that's fine. That's all right. That's fine. But, I mean, what Franklin's putting out, if it was poison, it wouldn't hurt you. And if it was medicine, it wouldn't help you. Now, it isn't that he doesn't know better. He's just not going to say too much better about it. But now, then he stands up there, and in the same breath, goes ahead and brags on Paula White, his pastor. She obviously is somebody's husband. And that's good that she is, because she can't get along with the other 3 that she's had. Now, see what I'm talking about today. And somebody said, well, I got news for you, is that I think women could do just as good. I got news for you, honey. I think some women could do a lot better. But the reason why you can't have that position, that's what God said. You see? You know, the average Baptist home has got a good woman that's running it. You ever notice how easy that it is to tell what somebody else's wife ought to be doing while we live under a petticoat government ourselves? I'm just saying to you, women, is that if you don't like the fact that you can't qualify to be in these positions, take it up with Eve. And I'm not talking about Brother Ron's mother either. I'm talking about Eve back in the Garden of Eden. Of course, Miss Eve might could tell you something. I don't I'm just messing with you a little bit there. I've got the highest regard for women, and this I'm going to tell you something, make no mistake about it, is that we're to honor the weaker vessel, and God gave plenty of protection for her, and to not be treating her like she's some kind of a doormat or dog. You'll give an account to God for that if you're not careful. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that when we come down to the house of God, is that, by the way, Miss White's 58 years old. She ain't learned nothing yet from the Bible. She's certainly not going to learn anything from here on, I'm sure. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at this morning here, I want to tell you there ought to be some appreciation one for another. In fact, when you come to the house of God, it ought to be a place of excitement. I don't know about you, but all the humdrum of life and dragging through life and the mully grubbing around, dealing with all the snaky situations that you deal with, isn't it good to be able to go down to the house of God and have some excitement and meet some people every now and again and fellowship with somebody that's excited about where God brought them from and where they could have been and would have been had it not been for the grace of God? I got to tell you right now is in the day and hour we're living in, I like to be able now and then and get out and about and brush shoulders and hobnob, you know, and see how people are doing, especially, you know, other Christians and all that. But have you ever noticed how that most of the time that folks just drag through life, they're not happy? If you're not happy, you're not thankful. If you're not thankful, buddy, what a sad, lonely life that you're leading. And it won't matter how much money, we're talking about something money can't buy. It won't make any difference how much money. It won't matter how much fame that you come in. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, that when we get down to the family of God and the house of God, there ought to be some excitement about what's going on in your life down at God's house. I was thinking about, you know, as you begin to look into it, as you ever notice that during testimony time, most of the time the average Baptist, and I don't care what church it's in, they just like they got the lock jaw and they're so glad God saved them, they don't say nothing. They look like they went somewhere and sorry they went. They're not as excited about things of God that they were when they first got saved. I guess when you first get saved, the burden of sin is lifted and you feel so clean, you feel so right, you feel so holy and all of that business. Why wouldn't you want to be excited about that? Not only that, but I want to say to you, when you come to the house of God, that ought to be a place of exhortation. Do you know when we pick up the Bible, we say, thus saith the Lord. He's about to exhort us. The word of the Lord will tell you what's right, tell you what's wrong in the sight of God and in the mind of God. Now, you know, there's a lot of people got their own opinion about what is and what ain't and so forth and on and what's good and what's evil. But I'm going to tell you, you better not go by anybody else's opinion. You better go by the exhortation of the blessed word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but it just energizes me to come down to the house of God. I mean, where else can you learn about people that all week long that have gotten victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil? Well, the house of God's a good place to be able to brush shoulders with that. And as a result of that, you know, is that you'll find that what we've done is we've traded the spirit for snootiness. Isn't it something in the day and hour that we're living in that as a child of God, as a child of the King, while we know better, we just don't do better sometimes. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, no wonder we're just kind of dragging through life when we could have been energized by the enlightenment of the blessed word of the Lord. If somebody says something, you ought to be able to know if it's right or if it's wrong by a chapter, book, and verse that's in the Bible. That's enlightenment. In other words, whenever God, and did you ever notice God said, my ways are not your ways? You better learn what God said and better grab hold of what God said, because what everybody else is doing and believing is not going to be right in the sight of the Lord. And then I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you're right with God and on fire of God and you're serving the Lord in spirit and in truth, here's what it does. It makes you want to be able to evangelize somebody with the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may not have the gift of gab, but you can carry a track. Hey, I'm going to invite you to come to church. You may be around your family, your friend, the people you're buying your groceries from, people pumping your gas. Most of the time we're pumping our own gas. But anyhow, you can evangelize people by verbally and letting them know that, hey, I'm a child of the King. I want to invite you to come down to the house of God and to hear the blessed word of the Lord. And I want to tell you, you better not boast yourself of tomorrow either. That family looks like a nice, neat family. I don't know the Neyland family. But what a tragedy for their family as they were, I guess, going somewhere to sing, going somewhere to evangelize, going somewhere like they normally do. I'm sure that whenever they got on there, do you think there's ever one of them or any of their family or friends or the place they were coming that thought there might be a possibility that God may stop them right in the middle of their intention? One of these days, you and I will be there.
Yes, sir.
One of these days, you and I are going to stand before God, meet our Maker face to face. But until then, we ought to be busy about the Father's business. Make no mistake about that. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that here's Miss Phoebe. She's a sister. And by the way, you'll find out not only is she born again into the family of God, but you'll find out she's working and serving God in the bounds of the Bible. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, the reason why that she is because we've got the same Father. She's born again, you're born again, I'm born again, we have the same Father. We've been washed by the blood and born into the family of God. That's why that we have a kindred spirit when we come together like that. You ever notice that whenever you're talking to one another, is that there's something unusual about another Christian talking to you, that my spirit bears witness with their spirit because of the Holy Spirit, that we are children of God. You ever talk to anybody that you could just tell was religious? Talk religion out of both sides of their mouth, but didn't walk one inch with God? You could just tell they lack something. Oh, they've got it down verbally, but they just lack something about that kindred spirit that's on the inside of them. I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, is that if you're born again, child of God, you've got the same Father that I've got because we're family. That's the same family that we're in. Now, in the church of the living God, the Bible said the Lord added, He saved us and added us to the church daily, such as should be saved. And let me tell you right now, over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 1, he talked about the reason that being is we got like faith. Now, you know why, don't you? Because that faith that you've got is the same faith I've got. And the reason why we've got like faith is that we got it the same way by hearing the preaching of the word of the Lord. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's why over there in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1 that he talked about those with like faith. The Bible said that when you look at the list here of Paul's friends and acquaintances, is that some of them did some things. Some of them were very influential upon his life. Some of them were helpers unto him, no doubt about that. My question is this here. Could you and I fit in the list somewhere? See, the list has grown a lot since Paul, by the Holy Ghost of God, penned this down. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that we're in the same family. That's why we're in the same fellowship. And the reason why we're in the same fellowship is because of the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to believe Him, but it's not going to change God one bit. And let me tell you, the sooner God comes knocking on your heart, the quicker you better respond to Him and receive Him in the free pardon of sin. This Bible said that people that are in fellowship with God, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And no doubt about, they went from door to door, and no doubt about is that from house to house, they started out under persecution, but they never fizzled out, friend. They just kept right on marching and waving that blood-stained banner. Last but not least, I want to say that if you're born again, you're in the same thing. Does the devil ever tempt you? Yeah. We have a battle of the flesh and the world, the flesh and the devil. And we're fighting a good fight of faith. And let me say to you, why do you think the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight? You know why? I'll tell you why. Because he kept the faith and he believed the Lord and believed the blessedness of the blood of Christ that cleansed him from all of his sin as we do ourselves. I want to say to you, we're in the battle for truth. Over in Ephesians chapter number 6, it's about verse number 12, that Bible said we're battling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, fighting against the forces of hell and heresy. Now, let me tell you, we're battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. It bombards us all the time. And as you begin to look in that, let me say to you, is that if they're trying to pull you out of the things of God and the word of the Lord and so forth and on, they'll try to offer you some alternate plan, some cheap plan called psychology. And here's what psychology does. It works on your mind and your intellect. What God's wanting to do is reach down, grab hold of your heart and awaken you to your need for Christ and to give you what only He can give you. In this lesson, I begin to think about in the day we live in, the world and the flesh and the devil will offer you religion. They'll try to salve your dead conscience with religion. But that's not going to be good enough. If you're a child of the King, dear friend, you're more interested in what thus saith the Lord than what psychology would ever be able to get. Psychology makes people feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. Whereas the word of the Lord lays a demand at the heart's door. No bargaining about it. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no maybes. It's thus saith the Lord, and it's God's way or it's not at all. It's that simple. I wonder this morning, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? And if you say, no, I don't, this would be a good time. What's going to befall us in the next hour, much less in the next day? As we get ready to stand to our feet, our musicians are coming, our song director. Now, Father, we ask you to bless now this word to every heart. And Lord, there may be somebody to say, preacher, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. God's been tugging at my heartstrings about it. May they come. There may be somebody say, preacher, I'm saved, but I've never followed the Lord in baptism after I ask him to save me. This should be a good time for them to do that. Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, thou knowest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. What number is